Hey, Danny, have you got a secret for me?
Yes. So I was in Tokyo and I was living in a live-in hotel sort of place. And the doorways are quite a bit shorter than they are in Europe. In the middle of the night, once I got up butt naked and I ran as fast as I could to go to the toilet and knocked myself out on the doorway.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am serious. And I woke up a bit confused, probably about an hour later.
Really?
Yeah, and then had to go to hospital.
Brittany, hi, it's Ben.
Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Brittany enters the secret room.
Hi, my name is Brittany, and my secret is that I have a college diploma, but I don't know if I actually graduated.
So curious.
Brittany's tale will take us from Hawaii to Texas to California.
Okay, and how old were you when the secret happened?
21. 10 years ago.
So, you've been living with this for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Has it been hard keeping this in?
It has been hard. I moved from college to Los Angeles, and the job that I do now, it doesn't really matter if I have a college degree or not.
So you don't mind using your real name?
I don't really care. I feel like it is a secret, but what's going to happen to me if anybody finds out? Like, nothing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so sure about that if I were you.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we can go ahead and get started then.
Okay, cool.
You're listening to The Secret Room, a podcast about the stories no one ever tells. I'm Ben Hamm. Brittany, welcome to The Secret Room.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Ben.
You are welcome. I'm really, really glad to have you here. Your secret, when you submitted it, just popped out at me, and I'm like, there is something going on here that we've got to figure out. So here you are to explain yourself.
Yes, I'm here to explain myself.
Yeah. How many people know your secret?
Let's see. Like, maybe 5 people know it now. I think at the time it happened, nobody knew it until 4 or 5 years after it happened. And it's been 10 years since the secret. So the people that are closest to me know. My husband knows. He made it in, barely. But I don't publicize it.
So tell me where this all started.
Okay. I went to college on a cheerleading scholarship at Hawaii Pacific. We were competitive cheerleaders, and Hawaii was the best team to go to at the time. My life consisted of like going to cheerleading practice, going to the beach. All of our teachers wore Hawaiian print shirts. Some of the classes were very laid back. I did my homework at the beach, but I was also pursuing acting in Hawaii. I was doing like plays and cheerleading, and my life was not the normal college experience.
Sounds like you were having a good time.
Yeah, I was having a good time. It was fun. I think by the end, I was definitely ready to leave. It's small, and I was getting more into acting, and I wanted to move to LA as quickly as I could. I thought I was going to look too old to be an actress, and then I moved to LA, and for the past 10 years, I've been playing teenagers, so really wasn't a problem. So I was really getting sick of being in the cheerleading world as well. It felt like a job that I didn't want to do anymore, but it was paying for my school, and it was a lot. Like, we had practice every day at 6 in the morning, and then we had to go to the gym later in the day, and then we had to do appearances around town, and they would fly us to different islands to do appearances there. And it was fun, but it was also a job.
What degree are you pursuing?
I was there for a degree in journalism, and I thought I wanted to be a broadcast journalist, but I quickly realized that I looked like I was 15 and I sound like I'm 5. And I was like, nobody's going to buy the news from somebody who sounds like they're 5 and looks like they're 15. And my mom told me, she's like, you should try and do Nickelodeon news or Disney news or something like that. I was not very passionate about it. And I was just trying to graduate as quickly as I could so that I could move to LA. And I was doing like the bare minimum to get by as a journalism major. So when I was on the newspaper staff, because all of the journalism majors had to be on the newspaper staff, it was called the Kalama Lama newspaper.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I should probably know that.
How do you spell it? I'll look it up.
I think it's K-A-L-A-Kalama. Oh my gosh. This is going to be me not being able to spell.
It's okay.
I think it's spelled exactly how it sounds. If I was writing it, I feel like I would be able to spell it.
Okay, wait. I can find it. Hold on. Let's see. Okay. Kalama Lama newspaper.
Yeah.
It means the beacon of light in the darkness. Mm. That's a good name for a newspaper.
Yeah.
So you're writing articles for the student newspaper.
Yeah, yes, exactly. My requirements for classes was that I had to contribute 2 articles to the newspaper a semester. The first article that I wrote, I decided to do an article on birds. And for my article, basically I just sat on my balcony and observed birds and wrote my thoughts about it. And then I turned that in as an article. And then the second one, I think I interviewed my cheerleading coach, and he didn't care about any of us going to class or getting good grades. He just wanted us to be good cheerleaders. So I think he let me make up all the answers to his questions.
Oh my yeah. God. Okay. So it wasn't exactly investigative journalism.
No, not really.
Or even journalism.
It was more creative writing.
So you're just trying to fit your degree into all the other things you're doing.
Yeah, my parents were very, you can move to LA, but you have to finish school first. And you are on a scholarship there, so we want you to finish school there.
Right.
I decided I was going to finish school early so that I could move to LA quicker. Because I was like, I am aging. I mean, I feel like however old I was, like 20 at the time. It's so funny to think that I was like going to be too old when I got here.
It's such a sad commentary.
Yeah, it really is sad.
Somehow you figure you're going to be able to wrap up your degree early?
Yeah, I figured it out. I like schemed my way into getting myself the thesis course before everybody else. The only hang up with me graduating a semester early was the fact that the thesis class was only offered in the spring, the second semester. That was the big stumbling block. And I was like, I cannot stay here anymore. I also couldn't stand being around my cheerleading team anymore, because all they cared about was cheerleading. And I was like, I want to be around intelligent actors. And like, then you get to LA and you're like, nobody's really that intelligent. But at the time I thought that's what I was moving for.
And you've got to get to LA before you're 6 months older.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
And I never can work because nobody wants to hire a 20 and a half year old.
Yeah, way too old.
Yeah. So the dean of the journalism department, he was like an older guy, and he was nice, but kind of like, I don't know. I feel like he was always listening to baseball games during our classes and stuff like that.
During the class?
Well, he had hearing aids, but when you walked by, sometimes you would hear like baseball scores. So I was like, what is happening here? Like, what does he have rigged to listen to the baseball scores?
Those were not hearing aids. They were something else. They were earbuds.
I guess. He had like the first ever earbuds. Maybe he was smarter than I thought.
Was he listening to those while he was lecturing?
No, it would just be like while we were working on things in the class, and he would be helping us. And there was a lot of like layout of pages for newspapers, and like he would be like correcting things and stuff. So,
And then so he'd walk by and you'd hear the latest score.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, somehow. I don't know where it was coming from, but it definitely, like, he would walk by and that would happen. So,
okay.
Yeah, he was an interesting guy.
Yeah.
And I decided I was going to ask him if I could take the course with him solo, like via email, the semester before everybody else took the course, the thesis course. And I remember going in to meet with him and I told him, like, you've just been, like, really inspiring. You're such a great teacher. And I just want to be able to finish early so I can, like, share with the world what I've learned from you. And
wow.
So, yeah. I mean, that was very manipulative of me. So he agreed and he was like, sure. Yeah, we can do that.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
So the way we set it up was that there were three papers that were due for this class. So I had two papers and then I had a big 20-page thesis paper at the end. And we came up with dates throughout the semester where I was just supposed to turn my papers in by those dates. And so I did the first paper and then the second paper, like, I wasn't going to have it done by the deadline. I just ran out of time. Well, I cared about other things more than that, clearly. So I decided that, like, I don't know where this idea came to me, but the day it was due, I decided I was going to attach a blank document to my email. And then when he found out, I was just going to blame it on a computer error and just buy myself a few extra days.
Clever.
Yeah, thanks.
I think.
If anybody needs tips on how to get out of things, just let me know.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I'll have it probably 2 extra days or something before he gets around to opening it and being like, oh, this is blank. What's up with this? And a few days later, he emailed me and he was like, you got a B+ on your paper.
Hmm.
I was like, what?
That's curious.
On my blank document?
What did you say?
Well, I just was like, thank God I didn't write it.
No, hold on. Presumably, writing the paper is a component, you know, of the education that you paid for.
You
might want to write it up and, you know, learn from that experience and put all of your, you know, all the knowledge of journalism you've accumulated into this great thesis. It's is the, you know, capstone of your educational career.
Totally. Well, I mean, you would think that I would have wanted to, but I was like busy. Right. I was about to move to LA. I was packing up. I was setting up my new life already. And
You've got other priorities.
Yeah. I was really just like, I just wanted my diploma. I didn't really care what it was in or what was happening. I just wanted to get a diploma.
And so, so you got a B+.
I got a B+, and that was on the second paper. So there was still the 20-page thesis paper. And I was like, I'm going to write that one. Like, I'm not going to not write that one. This was like lightning struck on this one. And then I got time for me to leave, and I was like, I didn't write it. I was like, I'm just going to try that again. I was like, could lightning strike twice?
Oh my God.
And
I have a feeling it did.
It did. Yeah.
The way the story is going.
Like, he never said anything to me about it. this is why I don't know if I graduated or not, because on that one, he never gave me a grade. He never said anything to me about it. He never was like, there's a blank document. I just like turned it in, and I think maybe 2 days later I moved. So I was waiting for like a possible email or something, and I never got one. So I assumed he just graded it again the way that he had graded the other one.
Which was just to give you a grade out of thin air.
Yeah, exactly.
He was busy listening to baseball games, I guess.
I guess, but also, like, what if I deserved an A?
But you know you didn't, because it was blank.
I know I didn't, but I could have.
Yeah, you could have. That's right. He doesn't know.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
Yeah, so you were both cheating, in a sense.
We both were. I mean, we were the perfect match, I guess.
How ironic.
Yeah. After I thought I graduated, I turned in the paper, and then everybody left on Christmas break, and I went back to Texas because that's where my family was living at the time. So I stayed there with them for about 3 weeks before I moved to Los Angeles. I had a big graduation party. All my aunts and uncles came in town for the party. My uncle gave me a necklace and like said he was proud of me, and you know, like all the things of graduating college I got. Right.
So Brittany, I want to ask you a question here. At this party, did you have like a sense of dread? Was there sort of a big weight on your shoulders thinking that this could all blow up in my face? I'm going to have to answer to all these people or give presents back or just somehow, you know, face the music in one way or another? Or was it just, you know, situation normal?
Well, you would think I should have felt like that, but I think I was like, I got away with something. I figured, you know, it happened, it worked before, I hadn't heard from him, like, it must have all been fine. And so I wasn't, like, really dreading it. I definitely didn't tell anybody, like, oh, I didn't do my thesis paper.
Sure. I think that was a smart move.
Yeah, probably. I was like, I'm moving, I'm getting an apartment, this is going to be awesome. So I left Texas, I moved to LA. Weirdly enough, my dad and stepdad drove cross country in a U-Haul with all of my stuff together, just the two of them, to help me move to LA, which was very nice, but very weird.
How'd that go? I mean, it's kind of nice too, though.
Yeah, it's really sweet. It's so sweet that they did it. And when they got to LA, they were best friends. They had all these inside jokes, and one night they dropped me off at the hotel, and then I found out they went out to dinner without me afterwards.
Wow.
It was an interesting experience.
Well, that was a nice side benefit to the story.
Yeah, it was. It was really sweet. And they're still like friends to this day from that. And they'll be like, oh yeah, remember the trip? And like they love it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cute. And then so they got here, got me all settled into LA, and then they left. And then I got a notification from the school saying that I had an incomplete in my journalism class. And that's when I freaked out because I was like, I already live here. This is my dream, and I'm going to have to leave and go back to Hawaii, and I don't even know what's going to happen. That was really scary. So I called the school. I told them, you know, Mary and I had this system set up, and I think it's just new to him. He's not really, doesn't really understand how like doing the class online works, but I definitely did all of the work. I probably said I definitely did all the work a bunch of times.
Right. Underscore.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay.
Yeah. So they said they would look into it, and I just threw them under the bus.
Why do you suppose that they had you down as an incomplete when your professor marked you as having grades for those papers?
So he marked me as having a B+ for the second paper I turned in that it was a blank document, but the 20-page thesis paper that I sent as a blank document a couple days before I moved, he never like emailed me back what my grade was for that one. Maybe he opened it and was like, this is incomplete, but he never said anything to me. So if you can just like check, they were like, okay, yeah, we'll look into it. Then I never heard from them. I think about 2 weeks went by. those 2 weeks, I was just stressing out like crazy.
So this is the point where the dread does finally set in.
I don't know. I was just loving my life in LA and I didn't want to have to leave it. And then a couple weeks later, my mom called me from Texas and she was like, "Brittany, guess what?" And I was like, "Oh my God." Every time my phone rang at that point, I was like terrified, you know, to see what it was. And she was like, "Your diploma arrived in the mail today." And I was like,
"Wait a minute."
So I don't know what happened. I don't know if I still have an incomplete. I don't know what? Like, they sent me a diploma and then I never heard back from the school. I never called them again because I was like, I have a diploma. Like, my parents think I graduated. Like, I guess I graduated.
Wow, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Or should I say, Mele Kilikimaka for Hawaii.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so what happened after that? Nothing?
In my mind, this is what I want to think happened, is that they were like, "Oh yeah, she did do all of the work. She has grades and let's just send her a diploma out." Huh. And so they sent it, but I was too nervous to call back and ask what happened. I just was happy that I had the diploma.
Yeah, because the risk is if you call back and stir this up,
yeah,
some, you know, intrepid registrar official might go on a little investigative spree and somehow determine that your final thesis was a blank Word document.
Yeah.
And you can't have that.
I can't have that.
No. So best to let sleeping dogs lie.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you have your diploma.
I have my diploma. I was actually at my mom's house the other day. My mom moved to Los Angeles 3 or 4 years after I did. And I was at her house and she's trying to give my sister and I all of our stuff. You know, like all of our things we wrote in elementary school and our yearbooks. And she just wants to get rid of stuff. And my college diploma was in there. She's like, "Do you want your diploma?" And I was like, "No, I guess. I don't know.
You better hang on to that. Just in case, as evidence.
I think I need it. It's my only proof.
So if an employer requests a copy of your transcript, you have no idea what it says.
Yeah, no. There was an option to pay like $5 extra to have it sent to me as well. And I opted out of that. I was like, I don't want to know.
Maybe it would be worth the peace of mind. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, yes, if I did a job where I needed a college diploma, maybe it would be worth the peace of mind. But being an actor, like, nobody cares if I have a diploma or not.
This is kind of a difficult position you're in. It's wrong to fake credentials to employers.
Yeah.
But you haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question to you is, what do you think you'll do if you apply for a job that requires a degree?
Yeah, probably make up some other lie.
You know, just snowball effect at this point. No big deal. Just keep acting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I can never quit acting because I really can't do anything else.
You know, and in fact, this is an extension of your acting career. Upholding the story, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but seriously, what would you do?
So I did start teaching at a college a couple years ago. I taught there for a year and they made me send my transcripts over and I didn't ever open them. I just had them sent directly to the school. That school that I was teaching at is fairly disorganized. So I'm not sure if anybody actually opened them or if they just needed them sent over. So I just held my breath that nobody said anything to me. And that was a panicky moment for me.
Wow, close call. It's sitting in a file folder somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know what it says.
So Brittany, this might be an obvious mm-hmm. question, but in your own words, you know, why do you keep this a secret?
Gosh, I guess I feel like, well, It looks pretty bad that I lied to a bunch of people. I feel like I lied to a bunch of people. Also, I threw a bunch of people under the bus. Also, I mean, my parents really cared about us having a college degree, and at the time I really thought I cared about having a college degree as well, and now clearly I don't as much. I feel like maybe a pride thing as well.
Yeah. So what do you think the people in your life would do or say if they knew your secret?
Probably like my extended family, like aunts, uncles, cousins, like things like that may judge it a little bit. I feel like my close friends now here would just think it was funny, or they would be like, that doesn't really surprise us about you.
Is that a compliment? I'm not sure.
I feel like, you know, I feel like my teenage and college self is just like drastically different from the person that I am now. So I think that my friends are never surprised by something that I did in my high school or college years of my life. They're like, she was crazy.
Why did you want to tell your secret today?
I wanted to tell my secret because I think that, gosh, I think that it's so interesting to hear other people's secrets and to hear the way our mind works when you're kind of pushed up against a wall and you make choices that you never really thought you would make that choice. So I think by all of us sharing our secrets in your podcast, which I think is such a genius idea, it makes people feel a little bit less crazy in their own secrets.
Well, Brittany, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Ben. This was so wonderful.
You are welcome. Hawaii was really great for Brittany. It's where she took up an interest in what became her chosen career. She's an actress based in LA now, where she doesn't need that diploma to get the next job. But I did ask for a picture of it to share with you on social.
Let me see what I did with it. I know my mom gave me like just like bags of stuff. I gotta see where I put it.
And after a week tearing her house apart with the able help of her husband, she left me this desperate voicemail.
Hey Ben, it's Brittany. So I've been searching my house for the last 2 hours looking for my college diploma, and I cannot find it anywhere. So I have a call out to my mom to see if she can search her house, and if not, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I might have to try and order a new one, but that opens up a whole can of worms of what they're going to say when I try and open a new one, and I don't know if I am brave enough to do that. I'll keep looking. Hopefully I find it before the episode airs. Hopefully I find it for the sake of the rest of my life. Okay, thanks. Bye.
As fate would have it, when it came time to record this portion of the podcast, Brittany still hadn't found her diploma. Her hubby snapped a picture of the fruitless search. See Brittany scouring their storage room with the able assistance of her pooch Trask, who's got a decidedly WTF look on his face. And you can decide for yourself what Brittany's emotions are as she's tearing through a very big box. Brittany shared some other pictures too, from her college days, appropriately enough.
I have a picture of me like cheering in college.
See Brittany in a goofy cheerleader shot and on a scenic hike in Hawaii. It's all waiting for you now on Instagram and Facebook, and we'll roll out the pictures over the next week on Twitter too. Search your favorite social for Secret Room Pod. If you've watched the American television programs The Middle, Two Broke Girls, or Girl Meets World, then you've probably seen actress Brittany Ross at work. But guess what? Brittany is also a podcaster.
I have a podcast called Shortcomings, and I host it with one of my friends. She's my comedy partner. We're both short, so it's called Shortcomings, but it's really, it's not just about being short. Okay. It's performers or like entertainers or just interesting people tell their stories about a time in their life where they fell short or where something didn't work out how they thought it would.
I can think of so many shortcomings in my own life. It's a great topic. Actually, I have listened to your show and I enjoy it a lot.
Thank you.
Brittany and her co-host Natalie Lander have created a live show. It's called The Craigslist Monologues, and they perform their podcast live every 3 months at the Lyric Hyperion in LA. Their website is shortcomingspod.com. And don't miss Brittany's amazing Instagram feed at I Am Brittany Ross. It is so colorful. All of this info is neatly organized in the show notes just for you. And there was one more tea I wanted to cross with Brittany after the mics went dark, after our interview. I asked her if she ever planned to lie to a future employer about her degree. And the answer was absolutely not. She'll just hope to find a way to work it out if it ever comes to that.
So do you want to join me in the credits?
Yeah, I'll join you in the credits. Our music is by Breakmaster Salander.
Perfect. Actually, it's...
Oh, Cylinder.
Breakmaster Cylinder, yeah.
Our music is by Breakmaster Cylinder.
And in Pod Notes, we've got some really amazing promotion coming up in the fall, and we're on the hunt for the most amazing stories to pair with it. What's your secret?
I submitted my story to the Secret Room through the website.
Let me know at secretroompod.com. There's a new episode of this podcast every other Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's midnight GMT on the Apple Podcast app or wherever you get your podcasts. So subscribe now, and we'll see you next time. We've made some changes here and there to the show based on your survey feedback. Thank you very much. We just want to make great pod for you. If you'd like to participate, find the link at secretroompod.com. If you need a Secret Room t-shirt, they're available in the U.S. on Amazon Prime. Go get them. Thanks for listening. I'm Ben Hamm. Pod on.
Pod on.